Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you because we come to learn, to receive, to grow, to move forward in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that here and everywhere your word will penetrate every heart and drive darkness away and bring light into every life and heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're coming to a subject that many people think they know a lot about. The first thing to understand about faith. Faith does not stand alone. Faith does not stand in isolation. The heart filled with faith, full of faith, will move into action. Faith and action. Faith looks at the past, the history, and the testimonies of what God has done, actually from the beginning of history. And faith looks at the present and compares and connects the present with the past. Didn't he do that through Abel? Didn't he do that for Enoch? And because God says, I am God, I change not. We know that what he did in times past, he will do today. Faith does not stand alone. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. They all go together. Though the greatest is love. As we look at faith, faith produces something. By faith, Abel offered sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah, when he was warned of the flood to come, because he feared God, believing that what God said he will do, he will surely do, he built an ark. By faith, when God called Abraham, he obeyed, not knowing whither he went. The point is, faith does not stand in isolation. Faith makes us act. Faith makes us walk in the way of God. Faith makes us love. Faith makes us expect. And faith turns our lives around. Faith transforms our lives. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm reading from verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're hoping for something. The title deed, the substance, the reality of that which you are looking forward to, that's the faith. And it says, it is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. That is this. The reality, I've not seen it. You have not seen heaven. And yet, we know, faith makes us to know God lives somewhere. That somewhere, that place where God lives is heaven. Christ came to earth. That place he came from is heaven. And when Jesus rose up, he showed himself by many infallible proofs that he was risen. And then 40 days he was with them. And at the end of the 40 days, while blessing the disciples, he was taken up and he went that place, he went that is heaven. We've not been there, but faith makes us to know that there is heaven and promises us that we're going to be there at the end of time. And Enoch was translated and went to heaven. It happened in the past. It's still going to happen to the whole church, the body of Christ, the people of God. And so we understand that the faith we're talking about is the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, for by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. They watched because they had faith. They obeyed because they had faith. And the report, the testimony we had about them is that they did what the Lord commanded because they believed him who had spoken. And then we come to verse 3. Verse 3 tells us, through faith, we understand that the worlds, the planets, our own earth included, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, touchable, tangible, we can see. It says all these things we see, they were not made of things which do appear, that is, which are visible. We're told in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had faith. The faith was not hanging in the air. The faith was not empty. The faith made him to so live to please the Lord. Now verse 6. In verse 6, but without faith it is impossible. Without faith it was impossible for Abel to offer an acceptable sacrifice. Without faith it was impossible for Enoch to live a life pleasing to God. And today, at this time, without faith, it is impossible in the present tense. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh, the people who don't come to God, don't believe God. They don't believe they need God for their salvation. They don't believe they need God for their security. They don't believe that they need God for their supply. They don't believe that they need God to live a life that will get them to heaven at last. But those who come to God, he that cometh to God must believe. Very important. He must have faith in the God of heaven. Faith in everything he says. Faith in everything he promises. Faith in everything he has prophesied in his word that he will do. He that cometh to God must believe that he is self-existent, that he is, that is still alive today and will be alive forevermore, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The people who come to God must be so passionate and so desirous that they diligently seek the Lord. They seek him with more passion than the people who are seeking the material things of the world. They diligently seek him, and they know, as they diligently seek him, they are not wondering, will I find him? Will he bless me? Will he save me? Will he transform my life? Will he prepare me for heaven? They know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They were told in verse 14. Verse 14, for they that say such things link that up with verse 13. They say they are pilgrims and they are strangers in this world. And those who count themselves as pilgrims and strangers in this world, they say something, they declare plainly that they seek a country. In verse 15, for if they, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which, from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They knew they were going from their nation on earth to that place above. And they believed that at the beginning. That's why they came out of their own land, of their own country, seeking the Lord, following the Lord, so that they can get to the place of appointment, paradise, eventually, eternally. And all the time they were taking step after step and going day after day, they kept on believing that we're going to a land, a country made, founded, and created by God. Then in verse 16, it says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. As we talk about faith, we're not just talking about faith to get this on earth. We're talking about faith that gives us all we need on earth, but ultimately to prepare us for heaven. Tonight we're looking at the message, the ladder of faith from earth to heaven. The ladder of faith. Why do I seek salvation? Because it takes that salvation for me to get on the ladder of faith that takes me to heaven. Why are you looking for sanctification, purity of heart? Why are you looking for that? Because that you have to have by faith. Because it takes that ladder of faith as you go from salvation to sanctification, as you go from peace with God to the purity of heart, as you go from the goodness of the gospel and you go through to the godliness that the gospel brings in your life, you're going up and up on the ladder of faith from earth to heaven. And that's what we learn about Abel. Abel's faith made him to have that sacrifice by which he was counted righteous. And from us, he went to heaven. Enoch, he had that faith by which he pleased God, and God took him from the earth and took him to heaven. Noah, Christ spoke about Noah in Matthew chapter 24. Now in heaven. How? Because he had the faith that took him from earth to heaven. Abraham. And Jesus spoke about Abraham, that when the beggar died, he went to the very bosom of Abraham. And when that rich man died, he saw Abraham in the kingdom of God in heaven and said, Father Abraham. And so, all these people were reading about, yes, God honored their faith. If they were sick, he healed them. But the healing was not the end of the faith. It was to take them from earth to heaven. Were they barren? Sarah got the child. But it was not just to have the child. God blessed him here on earth, that he might eventually use that same faith so that he can make progress and move towards heaven. Whatever you have on earth, by faith, please understand, the thing you have is not the end in itself. It is to give you the privilege by faith to go from earth to heaven. The ladder of faith from earth to heaven. In Genesis chapter 28, I'm reading from verse 12. Genesis 28, verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. A ladder set up on earth, and the top of that ladder reached to heaven. Our ministry here must be a ladder that gets people from earth to heaven. Our actions, our acts of faith must be like a ladder for people that makes them to go from earth to heaven. Our ministry, everything we do, is not just to bless them here, heal them here, provide for them here, give them food here. The things we do and the ministry should get people from earth, and then they're moving forward and forward until they get to heaven. It says that ladder reach to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. You remember? In John chapter 1, verses 50 and 51, believest thou, because I said, I saw you under that fig tree, you'll see greater things than that, because you will see heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Please think about that all the time. Will this action of mine take people from earth to heaven? Will this ministration take people from earth to heaven? Will this activity, passion, drive, will it take people from earth to heaven? Everything we do must look forward to taking people on the ladder of faith from earth to heaven. Three things we're looking at. Number one, founded on the foundation of our forerunners' faith. Number two is following the faith of former faithfuls. Number three, we're talking about forward through faith towards our final future. Look at number one. Number one is that we're founded on the foundation of our forerunners' faith. As we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And from that verse 1, it goes on to verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, 5 and 6, 7, 8, all through to the end of the chapter, talking about faith, the foundation of all those people we read about in this chapter. The foundation is that faith that's able to lift them from what they were to what they ought to be. But then it talks about a forerunner. Look at chapter 6, reading from verse 15. In chapter 6, verse 15, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Obtained the promise. Please come back to verse 18. In verse 18, chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in the which it was impossible for God to lie, it says we might have strong consolation, confidence, who have who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's talking about the witnesses from Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham to Sarah to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to the parents of Moses and then to Moses and to Rahab. And he's talking about all those people in chapter 11. He said the cloud of witnesses. He says now, having read about them, having known about them, let us lay aside every weight. That's what they did. That's what they did. Anything that could have bogged them down, pinned them down, held them down, they did away with them. And it says, and the sin we do so easily beset us. It says, now let us run with patience, perseverance, endurance, the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, looking unto Jesus. You don't know Abraham. You don't know even Noah. You don't know all those heroes of old. But now Jesus, our Savior, and Jesus, our forerunner, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're founded, planted on the foundation of a forerunner's faith. Look at three things here. Number one, the foundation of faith and fountain in Jesus. Number two is the fruit of faith and fellowship in Jesus. Number three is the future of the faithful fully following Jesus. Number one, the foundation of faith and fountain in Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Standeth. It stood firm in the past, and it's still standing firm today. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The people who have believed on the Lord, the people who are leaning on the grace of God, the people who are living by faith in Christ, God knows them. And how do we know them? It says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do I name the name of Christ as my Savior? Depart from iniquity. Do I name the name of Christ as my healer? Depart from iniquity. Do I name the Lord as my sanctifier? Depart from iniquity. That is the foundation. We repent of our sins. We turn away totally from them. We believe on the Lord and we're saved. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our hearts that we are now children of God. In Luke chapter 6, we're reading from verse 49. Luke 6, verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. He hears the word, Repent ye and believe the gospel. He refuses to repent. He hears the word and he does it not. He hears the word, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. He's full of religion, he's full of tradition, and he's not listening to, except thou repent, he shall likewise perish, because he is filled with religion. And he goes on, living in an empty religion without repentance unto God. It says, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. It says, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, the house collapsed, because it had no foundation, and the ruin of that house was great. As we come, it's wonderful we listen, it's wonderful we understand, but it's more wonderful that we do what we hear. Repent and believe the gospel. Follow the Lord and come out of darkness and live the righteousness of Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 24, John 8, verse 24, it says, I said therefore, this is Christ talking, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, the Messiah, the one to come, if ye believe not that I am he, the Savior of the world, if ye believe not that I am he, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Because he, the foundation of our salvation, he, the one that cleanses us from all sin, in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, he is the fountain, and is the fountain of the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. We must have that foundation, must have that fountain. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Look at number two. Number two is the fruit of faith and fellowship in Jesus. When we come to faith in Christ, that faith bears fruit. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Preacher, this is personal. Paul said, I, not we, not the whole church. Yes, the whole church could be crucified with Christ, but there must be a personal testimony. The songwriter said, I can take you to the place. I may not know how, I may not know why, but I know I met him. And I can take you to the place where that happened. You must know, like Paul the apostle knew, he said, I can take you to the spot on my way to Damascus where the light shone, and I heard the voice of him that even mentioned my name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. I heard him. And his sins were taken away. And now he could have, as you must have, as everybody must have a personal testimony of what God did when we met Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. He said, I lived in the past, the natural brute force. I lived in the past with the cruelty of depravity, but now I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by iron determination. I will. Then I grit my teeth to show my determination that will not make it, that will not conquer Satan, that will not overcome temptation every time. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Have you exercised that faith? And are you living that new life, the new life of faith in Christ? What the fruit of that? Chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, religion, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Can I remind you once again, faith does not stand alone, isolated. Faith worketh. And faith is not just the faith I believed at this particular time in the past. That faith must continue. And the faith worketh by love. Faith will not be cut away from love, the love of God that makes us do, makes us think, makes us plan everything in love. The faith that worketh by love. In verse 19 says, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are things contrary to faith, that if we live in them, we're in the flesh, we're not in faith. If we're in the faith, we'll not be in the flesh, and we'll not be in the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, it says, idolatry. Idolizing a man, idolizing a substance, idolizing money, idolizing whatever, something tangible, the heart is set on that. Demons are forsaking me, having loved this present world. He idolized the world, and the world became more important, the pleasures of the world, the profit in the world, the gain in the world, and the honor and the praise of the world. He idolized that, exalted that above his faith in Christ. Idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft, that's occultism. That's doing whatever they do with the power of darkness. It says, if that is there, the fellow is not in the faith. And it says, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, all these night parties, birthday parties, ceremonies. Somebody has died, we must spend all the millions of our currency you gather together since you started walking, revelings. And it says, and such like, of the which I tell you before. I tell you before the judgment day comes, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That kind of faith, we does not have righteousness, and we does not allow a man, a woman, and the professor of that faith to get to the kingdom of God. That's irrelevant faith, useless faith, empty faith. But the real faith, what he produces, the fruit he produces in us. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, and it says meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need all that to show we have the real faith in the Lord that bears fruit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith. We are part of the pilgrims, the strangers on earth, who are walking from earth to heaven, will walk by faith. Sometimes it's cloudy, will walk by faith. Sometimes there is temptation, there's trial. Sometimes the circumstances of life are not so favorable, yet will walk by faith. Sometimes on the ground, sometimes like walking upstairs, sometimes it's like we fly with the wings of an eagle, sometimes high, sometimes low, sometimes having pain, sometimes peace all around. Every time we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and any man is living by the faith of Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 John chapter 5, reading from verse 4. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whosoever, anytime, in any generation, in the present generation, anyone, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. All those atrocities of the world, they're under our feet if we're born again. All the pollutions of the world, if we're truly born again, they are under our feet. All the corruption, all the evil things that, you know, the people do for money, for rituals, everything that the world stands for. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Sin will knock at the door. Temptations will knock at the door, and the old life, old friends, old associates, old drunkards will knock at the door, and old Samson will knock at the door, old Delilah will knock at the door. But we know this, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not, that the fruit and the reality of those who are living by the faith of the Son of God and their fellowship with Christ. Look at number three. Number three is the future of the faithful fully following Jesus. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, because he took following and walking with God as his full-time engagement. Did he labor for food part-time? Did he have wife part-time? Did he have children, sons and daughters, fellowship, relationship there part-time? Did he attend this meeting and that meeting with townspeople part-time? But the full-time job, the full-time engagement, the full-time thoughts, the thing he concentrated on every moment, every day, every minute, every night, pleasing God, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, was always thinking of God, always mindful of the ways of God. That was his full-time engagement. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, every day before his translation, every moment before his translation, every interaction he had with anybody before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. You cannot say that's just Enoch, that's his own way, that's his own thought, that's his own engagement. No, it's for everyone. Everyone that wants to walk with God. Everyone that wants to live with God. It says in that verse 6, it says without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's not talking about healing. It's not talking about getting bread and butter because of faith. That one is the thing that pleases us. But to walk with God and to please him, to be obedient to the Lord and to please him, that's the very essence of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 51, it said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what Enoch was looking for and looking after. That's what we should be looking for and looking after. Where food and raiment here on earth, let's be satisfied with that. But beyond food, beyond raiment, beyond shelter, beyond certificate, beyond jobs, beyond earning anything, anything tangible here on earth, we're looking forward, and we're looking to the future of the faithful. And because of that, we are fully following the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. That's what Enoch depended on, the word of the Lord. How could anybody know of the possibility of being taken away from earth to heaven without seeing death, except he heard it directly from the Lord? And he knew that judgment was coming, because he said in Jude, behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints, and is going to bring judgment upon the ungodly. Enoch knew that. How could he know that? By the word of the Lord. And the same way the Lord has been faithful unto us, now that we have this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall be caught up, like Enoch was caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our faith, our focus shall center on that. We're thinking of the future. Whatever we have now, the food, the raiment, the shelter, the provision, shall not blindfold us, that we are not thinking of the future. In Revelation chapter 19, reading from verse 7. Revelation 19 verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, his bride, has made herself ready. Verse 8. In verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. There must be no stain in a garment of righteousness. We're looking forward to his coming. And his coming can be any time. And we don't sleep over any stain in our garment. The bitterness, there's anger, there's guilt, there's condemnation. You've touched what you shouldn't be touching, tasted what you shouldn't be tasting, drinking and eating what you shouldn't be eating and drinking, and carrying on conversation, the conversation of the world, which soils your garment, which stains your garment. We can't sleep over that and then, you know, drink ourselves to sleep. No, that stain must be taken care of, because the Lord is coming. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and he says unto me, write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Point number two. In point number two, we're looking at following the faith of former faithfuls. Faithfuls like Noah, like Abraham, like Moses, the people that followed the Lord in the past. We learn about them, we read about them, and we follow. In particular now, let's talk about Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The things that God warned Noah about had not been seen before that time. And yet, Noah believed. He recognized that's the voice of God. That's warning from God. That's the word from God. And took that. Even though it was not seen as yet, he moved with fear. Have you ever thought the combination of faith with fear? He moved with fear. The Lord told Noah a flood was coming and is going to drown everyone that does not have faith in God. He's going to drown everyone. That brings fear, a kind of flood that will drown everyone, destroy everyone. He moved with fear. There's good connection between that kind of fear and faith. Jonah appeared in Nineveh and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They believed, that's faith, and they feared. The fear that God says what he means, and he means what he says, is that kind of fear, the fear of God, connected with believing what he has said, that judgment was coming. That is the fear that made them believe and do things worthy of repentance. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world of unbelievers, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We need to follow those faithfuls as they believed God and acted upon the spoken word. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful. You've heard judgment is coming. You're still sleeping. And you're not afraid of the judgment to come, rising up and calling upon the Lord. That's the most terrible, tragic slothfulness. But be ye not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, it took Noah many years, yet perseveringly and patiently, he kept on building the ark until the flood came. It says, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Look at three things here. Number one, we're looking at following the faith and the footsteps of righteous Noah. Number two, fixed in the faith and faith and the faithfulness with a renewed nature. Number three, few in the faith for the future, like Resilient Noah. Look at number one. Number one, following the faith and footsteps of righteous Noah. In Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, does this generation of churchgoers listen to warning? No. They listen to motivation, something to pump them up, something to drive them on, something on achievement, something on get it, go for it. Warning? No. They don't listen. But if we're going to follow the Lord and make it on the final day, we must listen to warning. By faith, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We're told in Luke chapter 12, verse 4. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And I, there's a Savior talking. And I, there's a Jesus. And I, this is the authority from heaven. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. Verse 5, but I will forewarn you, here is Christ, whom ye shall fear. It's good to have faith in God, but we need to have the fear of judgment to come, and the fear of God, that what is said, he will do. It says, whom ye will fear, fear him, which after he had killed, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. Revelation 15, verse 4. Who shall not fear thee? You know, who shall not fear thee? The people who have a partial understanding, a partial knowledge of the Bible. And they sing their faith, faith, faith. Faith for this, faith for that. And they live recklessly. They behave unrighteously. And you ask them, I have faith in God. He cannot throw a person like me having faith, throw me into hell. Yes, it can. If you don't have the fear of God. And that's why the Lord is asking, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. He judges, and because of that, we fear him. Jeremiah chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 22. Jeremiah 5, 22. Fear ye not me, says the Lord. The Lord is saying, do you take me for an indulgent God? Do you take me for an unrighteous judge that will see sin and then still pat you at the back? It says, fear ye not me, says the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound, limitation of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it, And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. It says, whatever limits it sets, that is what prevails. And he's saying, won't you fear God is going to judge sin and every secret thing he will judge? Just go on, no fear. Noah did not manifest his face like that. His face made him to fear. God said, judgment is coming. He feared and he prepared an ark. Look at number two. Number two, we're looking at fixed in the faith and faithfulness with a renewed heart. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 39. Jeremiah 32, verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. When God sanctifies us and he gives us a new heart, one way, it's a kind of heart that fears God, not a kind of heart that takes God for a ride, not a kind of heart that looks down on the warnings of God. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Verse 40. In verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Comparing with other scriptures, we know there's a circumcision of heart. There's the new covenant. And this is the experience of sanctification. Somebody says, sanctified. His sanctification does not bring fear of God. His sanctification moves here and there, talks anyhow and acts anyhow, and there is no fear of God. Friend, are you living like this? You know, since I got sanctified, I have liberty. Liberty to offend God. Liberty to disobey God. That's no sanctification. It says, I will give them such a heart and have everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then at the church's rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. New Testament church, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you'll not have a careless life, a lousy life, a sinful life, a corrupt life, a life of liberty to do any evil anytime. You know that our God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. They're walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. And then it says, of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness. Look at this, in the fear of God. That was Noah had, and he retained the righteousness that saved him and his household from the flood. Number three, few in the faith for the future like resilient Noah. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're reading from verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, by that Spirit he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. They are now in prison, but he preached unto them by the Spirit, which, in verse 20, sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. That's in Spirit, strove and preached unto Noah. He feared, he believed, he escaped the judgment. But the others, they didn't care. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. How many years did they preach? So many years, and only seven plus himself. But he kept on building the ark, he kept on preaching. Uncle Noah is peculiar. Uncle Noah is queer. Uncle Noah is talking about judgment that had never happened, that will never happen. Uncle Noah is deranged. They insulted him, they reproached him. He kept on building for so many years, even with those few people that listened and responded. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter 2, 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Can you continue preaching sanctification, holiness, righteousness, if the people turn their back on you? Can you continue being a preacher of righteousness if you have just a little circle of people accepting what you preach? And any time you come, a jest, a joke, a ridicule, and any time you mention righteousness, there is a sound from the people that, you know, is a sound of mockery. Can you, or you still continue the following chance you have, preach holiness? That is what Noah did. Kept on a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We keep on with the world. It's not the crowd, it's the people that believe, and they're looking forward to that day that will come. And only those who are righteous, pure in heart, will make it on that day. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, As I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Keep on preaching that righteousness. Blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, because they shall be filled. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Luke chapter 17, verse 24, Luke 17, 24, for as the lightning that lightness out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Verse 25. But first must he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. 27. They did eat, they drank. That the most important thing for the people of this age, what they will eat, what they will drink, how they will have this qualification, so as to have enough to eat and to drink and to build. And it says the married wives, that the most important thing for the younger generation, wives, 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 and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28. In verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Activities of this world that arrest the attention of everyone. And that is the only thing, the major thing, they're sold to. And coming to fellowship, they have to go for business. And coming to hear of the warning, of the word, of the ways of the Lord that leads us home to heaven. No, the other things of earth, they're more important. Verse 29. In verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30. In verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 32. In verse 32, remember Lot's wife. We're coming to point number three. In point number three, forward through faith towards a final future. Let every day contribute to our forward movement, a forward goal, a forward achievement in the decision, dedication, commitment, consecration to get to heaven at last. You need to repent, do it in good time. Make restitution, do it in good time. Pursue after righteousness, do it in good time. Moving forward through faith towards a final future. Hebrews 11, we're looking at verse 10. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is unheavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the quality of the faith of Abraham. Number two, tragic quitting from the faith during adversity. Number three, the question for your faith before his advent or at his advent. Number one, the quality of the faith of Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Faith does not stand alone. He obeyed. Abram, here am I, Lord. That's not enough. Get up out of your country and go out to a place I will give unto you. Haven't heard, sitting down, not moving, thinking, meditating, musing over it. That's not faith. Faith is when we hear, we understand, we think, we meditate, we pray, we receive the grace to rise and do and obey. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He went out, not knowing whither he went. The faith that accepts that God would lead you day by day. What you have heard, rise up and obey. When you obey the first instruction that he, God, has given, he will give the next step and the next step and the next thing to do. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, verse 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, not because you heard, good to hear, not because you are thinking, meditating, good to think and meditate, not because you are wondering, is that God? Could that be God? Am I to do this? And I'm still praying and praying and praying for grace. And you're still in the old seat where you are sitting. No, because you have risen up. You have taken that Isaac and you have gone to the place I showed you. And you've done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son. Verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed at the stars of heaven, of the heaven, and at the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18. And in thy seed shall all nations, the nations of the earth, be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Faith does not stand alone. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Romans chapter 16, verse 26. In Romans chapter 16, verse 26, but now is made manifest. The time of Abraham gone, but now, as the gospel is preached unto us, now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Faith does not stand alone. Faith to be real, accepted, honored by the Lord, must have obedience to everything he has spoken to us about. Romans 6, verse 17. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin were in the past, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's faith. That's faith. And that is how faith is manifested. To be acceptable in the sight of God. Number two, tragic quits from faith during adversity. Opposition will come. Trials will come. But we need to continue in the faith and go through, not go back, go through during that time of trial, time of temptation, time of adversity. In Luke chapter 8, reading from verse 13, Luke 8, verse 13, they on the rock at the which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe. After hearing the word, and we appreciate the word, we're joyful, we're happy, I'm happy, I'm hearing a word like this, and we're happy that we have understanding of the scripture. But you know, that joy and happiness, I had the word, this is real. I love the interpretation, I love the application, that's not enough. For a while, believe. And then it says, and in time of temptation, fall away. In time of trial, fall away. In time of persecution, fall away. In time of adversity, fall away. Verse 14. In verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection, the people that fall away. In Hebrews chapter 3, reading from verse 12, Hebrews 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, you're born again. Take heed, brethren, you're a worker. Take heed, brethren, you're a child of God. Take heed, brethren, you profess salvation, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, brethren, then unbelief. Believing first to become a brother or a sister, and afterwards having the heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You couldn't depart if you had not been there. If you had not been in a city, you couldn't depart from that city. If you had not been in the fellowship and the family, you couldn't depart from that fellowship or family. They had believed, but now an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It tells us in verse 17, but with whom was he grieved, displeased, 40 years? Was it not for them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Look at verse 18. Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, into his rest, but to them that believed not. They believed at first. That's how they came out of the house of bondage. But then as they went on, adversity, hunger, thirst, Amalekites, Midianites, Moabites, they went back. They believed not. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back because of trial, if any man draw back because of challenges, if any man draw back because of adversaries, adversities, persecution, persecutors, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto what? Unto what? I'm sure you can say it better than that. The people who draw back, they don't draw back to perfection. The people who draw back from sound doctrine, they don't draw back unto growth, progress. The people who draw back because of the watch of holiness, righteousness that we have by faith, they don't draw back into greater, excellent relationship with God. They draw back unto perdition. It says we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. We have to keep on believing. Believe to the saving of the soul. We're coming to number three. Number three, the question for your faith before its advent. The question for your faith at is at advent. Look at this in Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 8. Luke chapter 18, we're reading from verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He answers prayer. And if we pray with importunity, if we pray with the promise of God being the foundation of our prayer, if we pray with faith, with great expectation, we're praying for needs to be met, we're praying for justice to be done, we're praying for our rights to be given unto us. That's the parable he gave, and he said, the unjust judge, because of the importunity of the woman, and also the friend, because of the importunity of the friend, gave everything she requested. He says, I tell you, will not God avenge them? He will speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find the faith that holds on? The faith that endures? The faith that perseveres? The faith that continues in righteousness and holiness? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. But when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? The faith that perseveres in persecution. Shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith in your heart? No job, no food, no accommodation, no shelter, no husband, no wife, no ease, no friendship, no support. And you go through quite a lot. If you keep on praying, the Lord will answer speedily in Jesus' name. Amen. But the greatest faith is to keep on there, hold on there, and keep on following after the Lord, whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever besides, whatever men do, whatever men say, whatever opposition you have, you want to have that faith in the Lord that holds on at the time when the Son of Man comes. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in your heart on the earth? Those who remain at the time of his coming, I pray you'll find faith in your heart. Your mind, your heart, your consecration, your passion, your attention will be on him, the one that is to come. Your faith will not fail at the middle of the journey. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Faith, the faith of Enoch, pleasing the Lord until the time of the rapture. The faith of Noah, with a renewed nature, holding on to the Lord, fearing judgment is coming. Are you thinking, where will you spend eternity? Faith, the faith of Abraham, that whatever God demands of you, requires of you, the faith that will not delay, that will not deny God is right, the faith that obeys the Lord, and the faith that endures until the time of his coming. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in your heart? The Lord has spoken.